patient when unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
A Christmas election. Hi, it's actually past the day of the general election on the 12th of December 2019, the year Blade Runner was set, which I still can't quite believe. And we're in the Brighton Centre. It's actually past midnight now, and we've been having a drink down the road. But we're here to cover the booming, amazing, throbbing scene of excitement that's before us. Not a big empty room, nothing going on. I hope the media are here. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But I'm with the UKIP candidate. The information doesn't support any particular political view, but we're always happy to talk to anyone. So we've got the UKIP candidate for Brighton Pavilion, and it's Nigel Johnfinnes. Nigel, welcome to the information. Very glad to talk to you. What do you make of the scene so far? We're here. We've seen more action in a local election in this Brighton Centre. We've seen more excitement at a by-election. I can't believe how dead this is. Do you think that's reflecting any kind of public malaise?
Frankly, Peter, yes, I do. I've never known a scene like this. I've never met a scene like this. I've been coming to counts now since 1964, and the place is just like a ghost town. Now, considering they've been exceedingly generous with the allocated number of guests for each candidate, it's candidate plus 13 this time, and it could even be slightly more. Plus the fact that all the members of Brighton Hove City Council, all the councillors, are automatically entitled to be here. And I've seen three councillors so far and two ex-councillors. There's just no one here. I think this just reflects the fact that the establishment, yes, it's definitely establishment one and the people nil for the time being. I'll be quite honest about that, because they succeed in their wicked plot, which I knew all along they were going to try to do, and that is to bore everybody completely rigid with the B word.
Mm. You're standing as United Kingdom Independence Party, UKIP. Is that a name that we thought would be forgotten? Now we've got Brexit Party standing as well. Two sides of the same coin, or are you offering something a bit different?
We're offering everything entirely different. About the so-called Brexit Party, is nothing other than Tory light. I actually call them, and Nigel Farage used to be my absolute mentor and hero, the chameleon, leading the chameleon party, mm-hmm. because even Andrew Neil noticed on the interview two nights ago, well, when he said, "Mr. Farage, you really are yesterday's news, aren't you?" And I quote, he said, "You're all washed up and well past your sell-by date. You don't even know what you stand for, because that man has had his wicked way." I'm not prepared on air to go into why I think Nigel's behaving this way, but I do have my suspicions. And if my path ever crosses his again, I'll make sure that he is only too well aware of my suspicions. Mm. He's gone from hero to zero. He has become nothing, frankly, other than an agent provocateur.
Do you think the Brexit Party might fade after tonight? Have you seen the exit poll? It's looking like quite a big Tory majority, perhaps. What do you make of that at the moment?
Fade after tonight? I don't know about after tonight, but I know certainly they've disappeared from whence they came, and on air I wouldn't like to say where that was. I'm told that they're in there, and I'm going to go in there now and see exactly what's going on. They're sitting with faces 20 miles long in the cafe bar around the corner. Sadly, I did try to tell them. I've tried to tell them individually and jointly that they're making a very bad mistake. Some of them number former UKIP members, people. I'm not going to criticise those people. UKIP has made a spectacle of itself for a long time now, but things in UKIP are about to change, and they're going to change very swiftly. UKIP will be back in business, and those who did leave and went to the Brexit Party, the Tories, etc., I'm on a mission to get them back, and get them back I will.
That's really great to talk to you, Nigel. I'm bound to talk to you a bit later on in the evening. It's around, what, 1 o'clock is it? Have you got a watch?
It's the time now, and I'm exactly right, spot on. It is now coming up to a quarter to one in the morning.
A quarter to one and no action at all, but we'll talk to anybody else who wants to talk to us, and we'll no doubt talk to you again later on. Thanks very much, Nigel.
Thanks.
Well, it's getting up to 1:30 now, and we're sitting in the coffee lounge here. There's a lot of different candidates around, Brexit Party and all the others you'd expect. And we're looking at a Twitter feed here with my brother Martin of the information. And Martin, you're checking some national Twitter Not our account, but some national Twitter.
Just trending tweets, trending hashtags. I just find Twitter's always a good way to gauge what the current mood is when it comes to big events, big news events, and particularly elections and things. But I'm just looking at the top trends in the UK right now, as you say, 1:30. And this is sort of when, I guess, results are starting to pour in, aren't they?
No, not in Brighton and Hove, but they do it very, very slowly.
Very slowly, it seems.
For a city, yeah.
So at the moment, exit poll's the number one hashtag with 150,000 tweets. 150,000 roughly. Then you've got UK election, general election, Blythe Valley, which I think was an upset, I'm guessing, a result. I think it swung the Conservative way. And then election results 2019. So they're all, as you'd expect, it's all election based. But if we go to the UK election one, general sentiment, I mean, it's sort of predictable really, but the general sentiment I'm seeing on Twitter is just a kind of left virtue signalling style reaction to the potential of what looks like a Johnson majority government. So you've got people saying things like, I'm going to move to Canada and that kind of thing. Lots of memes, lots of GIFs. Just general. I think there's probably just a sense of general
these
surprise.
These voters, these parties commenting.
How do you mean? Sorry.
Are they individual voters just commenting on their own accounts?
Yeah. That's it looks that way.
And they're putting a lot of images up. What are the images we're seeing?
These are just memes. It's just GIFs. Yeah.
Little bits and films and silly
it's just
stuff.
It's all sorts of silly stuff. It's nothing serious.
Just making an emotive reaction to things.
It's things like memes from The Office. Just shock. Just general shock memes and GIFs. I think there's just that whole thing. The thing about Twitter is people who use Twitter tend to be very left-leaning because that's sort of the way that social media is engineered these days, is the user base, probably by design, is quite left-leaning. And as a result, this seems to be like you're seeing a sense of shock and a sense of probably surprise, I think, because I think there was actually a sense, a bit like Brexit, I suppose, that the left, I think, probably thought that this was going to go more towards a Labour, not win, but certainly not quite the majority that it looks like for Johnson. I mean, some people probably even thought that Corbyn might win it tonight. I mean, I know there's a load of people I work with, for example, who are all very left-leaning software developer types, like IT industry people, and they all seemed pretty sure that Corbyn was going to win today. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to get into to and fro with people. But I'm not necessarily against the man, but I wasn't convinced he was going to win tonight. I was pretty sure Johnson would pull it off.
I always felt, I spoke to him earlier tonight, but about a month ago I was talking to him, and I felt Johnson would get back in. I thought with a small majority, but it would be, he would get in. It's looking like it's going to be a lot bigger from the exit poll. Anyway, it's a shame these exit polls to take away the suspense a little bit, and I wonder whether that's why we've got such an empty hall here. I mean, in our case, a few people around, but we're in the bar. Normally, local election is much more crowded than this. Whether Carolyn Lucas, for example, turns up a bit later on, maybe, or she'll have to come in and be on the stage when they announce it. But going back a few years when she won the seat in Brighton Pavilion, it was a big, big moment, and we had loads of Greens turn up. I think they're all camping outside or sleeping near the town hall, and they all emerged on bicycles suddenly, like they were all called in by a mobile phone, like a kind of a hive mind response. Going back to what you were saying, Martin, about the pardon me. Going back to what you were saying about the Tory surprise win potentially, reminds me a bit of the 1992 general election when we didn't think they would get back in, and then John Major did win again, but he wasn't that popular, and he was struggling by 97. That's when Tony Blair came in, and there was talk that might have been a rigged election. A guy called Alan Rusbridger analysed the ballots, and he worked out that in key marginals there was an unexpected swing to the Tories, so that he thought there may well have been a bit of ballot rigging there. But we're not saying that's happening today, but has got precedent, these sort of surprise wins. I wouldn't say it's a surprise win in this case, not to that level.
The thing is I don't think it's a surprise, but it's for people who understand politics and are impartial and try and get a higher level perspective on these things, this isn't a surprise result. But I think the problem is you've got these echo chamber mentality groups online, and you've got these bubbles, and that's the problem with the internet, right? The problem with social media is you create these echo chambers where everyone thinks that because their little group, their clicky group online of 100 friends on Facebook or whatever, are all saying the same thing and all going up to vote for the same person, they just assume, almost like a sense of entitlement, that their guy's going to win, their party's going to win, and they forget they're in an echo chamber, and actually the bigger picture is different. Not everyone thinks the same thing as them and their friends and their left-leaning buddies. It's a whole different picture in terms of the bigger populace. So that's, yeah, kind of what we're seeing, I think. And it also demonstrates the fact that as much as Silicon Valley and that like to think that social media is right at the hub of everything, and it's almost like a way of predicting outcomes, it isn't. There's still vast amounts of people out there who won't use social media and don't talk about what they're going to do on social media. They just quietly go and do it on election night.
There have always been these polls. I mean, so it's not like it's new to have predictions of things. So social media is just another aspect to that. It's kind of a live feed that is more independent of the mainstream media, but it's based on very high-tech companies running it. So in a way, they're mainstream, but they're outside the official broadcasters that are much more constrained about what they can do. The main broadcasters, certainly in the UK, can't have a political angle. They're meant to be balanced, whether they are or not is arguable, but they're meant to always reflect both sides equally. So we've got the picture here on the TVs in this lounge area. We haven't got the sound very audibly, but we're getting the gist, and we're going to hang around for a bit longer, probably not all night. Not the most exciting election I've been to, not bad. So we'll maybe check back in half an hour or so. Well, it's now 3:09. We haven't got a result here at Brighton and Hove, but we've been walking around the voting area. And we think there might be a change of seat in one of the constituencies. Nigel's back here, he's having a coffee. Nigel, how do you think the atmosphere is tonight? Not quite what you expected, maybe?
Well, frankly, the atmosphere here tonight is flat, dull, boring and disappointing. As I said earlier, I've been attending election counts since 1964. I can hear neither cheers, nor jeers, or boos. Nothing. It would appear to me, but I'm not going to go and predict results when they haven't come in, but by body language, it would appear that Kent Town has changed hands.
Oh, really?
That is how I read it. Nothing has been announced, but looking at the circle of Labour Party people, they look utterly dejected.
Just Lloyd Russell Moore, who's the incumbent, losing to...
Well, I could only imagine Joe Miller.
Yeah, who's the
even though he doesn't appear to be at the counters yet.
He's a Conservative Party candidate.
Yes.
And you're at
a Hustings. Thoroughly arrogant young man, too.
You were at a Hustings meeting with him, weren't you, about disability rights or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, I was, and yeah. He was extremely rude.
Right, OK. Well, that's interesting. We'll see if that's going to turn out to be the case.
I would not like to see an arrogant young man like that representing anybody, but no. It seems I might have to get used to it. As I say, nothing has yet been announced.
Right. And in Hove, what's the situation? They've got Tory and Labour quite neck and neck.
I can't work out. And another interesting thing, Peter Kyle, the incumbent MP, is not present. Now, if I've surmised rightly, and Lloyd Russell Moore, who had roughly 10,000 majority, just shy of 10,000, has lost his seat, I think we may well see that Peter Kyle has gone too, because Robert Nemeth is a thoroughly industrious, very hard-working councillor, very diligent candidate, and a genuine Brexiteer.
What Where are you standing in? Brighton Pavilion?
I'm standing in Brighton Pavilion.
So do you think you can score there, or at least make a point, maybe? Get up on
I'm not going to win it, but I wasn't in it to win it. No. I've never set out to be top of Andy's popularity poll. The reason I've stood is to gain publicity opposite my party, UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party, and to try and lift the veil from over so many of the glazed eyes of the cult-like Caroline Lucas supporters.
She's a Green Party MP.
The Green Party MP, currently.
We haven't seen yet today.
Caroline just likes to turn up to collect the bouquets. She doesn't seem to like to be around to do any of the dirty work.
You were hoping to be on the hustings with her, weren't you? But you went to the university and you weren't allowed to speak, is that correct?
No, I wasn't even invited to the university hustings, University of Sussex. I rang up the guy who is in charge, the democracy officers. I've spoken there twice recently, including earlier this year, I beg your pardon, and was told that they had insufficient room on the platform, which turned out to be a downright lie because there was actually an empty chair on the platform.
Well, you could have gone there as a disabled person, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, and I am the national spokesman, anyways, for Disabilities and Equalities for UKIP, the national spokesman. I asked if I could go to the be in the audience, although they said it was all done on Ticketmaster, it was sold out. Oh, but if you meet me at 6 o'clock sharp, I will get you a seat at the back. I took the seat at the back, was the first person to put my hand up to ask a question. Immediately the microphone was switched off, rather sinisterly, not by the woman who'd handed it to me, but obviously by some remote control from on the platform, because they told me so. And I put my hand up and I got no further than saying, well, good evening, everybody. I'm sorry, sir, I've switched the microphone off. I can't allow you to speak, said the vice. Sorry, I thought that's...
Jerry's on the TV, not in the hall.
Okay, yeah. Who said, because I've just been informed that you're a candidate. I didn't need a microphone to carry on. Will you have been informed right? I shouted back. And he said, it simply would not be fair for the candidates to allow you to speak. I said, I repeat, I am a candidate and I should be on that platform. And I've subsequently been deplatformed from everything apart from the Grace Air Centre. We had a hustings there. BBC South East Today came down to film it, said it would be on 2 days later. It came on 8 days later. Myself, Ollie Sykes, the Green candidate, and Paul Chandler, the Lib Dem spokesman, were all cut out of it. They had three people were left allowed to speak, and right at the end, you saw the three of us spliced together, all talking at the same time for a matter of seconds. So much for democracy. The Argus, as they call themselves nowadays. I, of course, could have another word that sounds rather similar for them.
Yeah.
But the Argus, pardon me, published something about a month ago. They had a four-page spread.
Yeah.
These are the candidates standing. This was before nominations had even closed.
Yeah.
The one person missing was myself. No picture, no thing, wasn't asked to give anything. So, we might as well be living in Hitler's Germany or Stalin's Russia, because the UK Independence Party has been edited out of the script. The Brexit Party, no disrespect to them, were involved in absolutely everything, which proves my point that they are as much a part of the establishment party as Boris and Jeremy Corbyn.
You managed to get a very good letter in the Argus, so didn't you?
I've had a number of letters in the Argus, lead letter status, and since, when was it, I think May of this year, I have been having letters published regularly from Nigel Furness, prospective UKIP parliamentary candidate for Brighton Pavilion constituency, and yet I've been edited out of the script. This is sinister. And something needs to be done about, something will. My party has already informed its legal department and we have been in touch with the Electoral Commission. This has happened. We've only put up 44 candidates. This has happened in every one of those 44 seats. This is an affront to democracy and we will not allow it to continue.
Okay,
and I might add that it's a great shame that the Brexit Party, who claimed to be on the same side, never said... Well, why are you deplatforming UKIP? I have asked in the past, and I've many times seen on platforms, why have you deplatformed the monster raving loony party or the various independents? They've all paid their £500. They are all entitled to say, and furthermore, this is cheating the electorate. They might just like what some of these people have to say. And in the case of the monster raving loony party, they're often well ahead of their time, and many of the things people have scoffed at, just like the things people have scoffed at that UKIP have said in the past, are now well and truly ensconced in law.
That's right, that's right. Well, thanks so much, Nigel. Well, let's see how the night goes, yeah. Well, it's just gone 3:30 in the morning, if you can believe that. We're still here, still no results at Brighton Hove. A friend of mine, Richard, a local resident, just come by. Hi, Richard. Have you been following this on the TV? What's going on?
Well, to a certain degree, but more speaking with people and just discussing what the outcome is likely to be, given the national exit polls at 10 o'clock last night. It's,
was that a result that surprised you, or was it what you expected? Or
yes, it's a big surprise because, like a lot of people, I think I'd been expecting some kind of hung parliament.
Mm. What do you think might happen in Brighton Hove? Do you think we'll get a swing to Tories, like a national kind of, what seems to be the national picture, or do you think it'll be a bit of a bubble, different result maybe?
Well, it's not much of a surprise that... in Brighton Pavilion, it looks as though the Green candidate, Caroline Lucas, is almost unassailable. In Hove, Robert Nemeth for the Conservatives has been a very active councillor, young, fit, intelligent, and has put in a lot of hard work as a councillor. So I think Robert Nemeth stands a very good chance against Peter Kyle. And in... East Brighton, I'm finding it very difficult because part of that constituency lies to the east in Peacehaven and Telscombe Cliffs, and I don't know much about the mood of the population out there beyond the boundaries of our city.
Used to be quite a big Lib Dem support in there in the early days gone by. I guess that's evaporated now.
I think I share your views on that, Peter, because I see the two main challengers as being the incumbent, well, previous incumbent, Lloyd Russell Moyle, against the Conservative, Joe Miller. Apparently, Joe Miller has recently come out as gay, as Russell Moyle has been known for many years to be so. I don't attach any particular political significance to that. Joe Miller has been quite a powerful and effective councillor for the Conservatives, and I think that when he was elected as a councillor, he was probably one of the youngest councillors ever elected to the Brighton Hove City Council. He's got a law degree and is training to become a barrister. So among, shall we say, the Middle England part of the population and the higher income population in the heritage areas of Kemp Town, he's probably going to score quite highly. So it's going to be a very, very marginal outcome as to whether Russell Moyle can hold on to his seat or whether the Conservative challenger can take over the seat from Russell Moyle.
Do you think it's difficult when we get good councillors in and they get almost like headhunted to be MPs and then we lose what are quite good councillors? Does that create a problem with the council losing good councillors? To get by-elections there, don't you, when that happens?
Yes, I quite agree with you, Peter. I've got great respect for people who manage to get elected as councillors, and some of the people come in with the very best of intentions and then, for all sorts of reasons, seem to lose their zeal and their fire. Others never seem to shine, don't seem to show much zeal and fire, but appear to be just following the party whip and putting their hand up when voting time comes around. And yes, it's not quite... It's good that we have one of the few councils with a committee system, but my view is that when one goes along to sit in the public gallery at council committee meetings, that it's still some way from a truly open democracy. There's still a lot of party politics in it, and still a lot of work to be done to improve the quality of decision making in our council.
Well, without the local elections are way off, aren't they? So we'll have to wait, see what happens in the interim locally, and whether I'm here to get the result tonight, I'm not sure. Someone walking along there with some bits of equipment. I don't know if they're getting ready for something. Maybe they are. Anyway, thanks for that, Richard.
You're very welcome indeed, Peter. It's always good to see you at these events.
This is Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson on the BBC. Oh, we've got an announcement here, so I've got to go right through and get that. It's all happening now. Nothing happens for ages, and suddenly it all starts happening at 3:41. Okay. Well, someone's literally running. Look, he's running, a Labour guy running ahead of me. Here we are.
Miller Joe, the Conservative Party candidate, 16,972. Phillips Alexandra, Green Party, 2,237. Russell Moyle Lloyd, Labour and Cooperative Party, 25,033. Donald Stone, Liberal Democrat, to stop Brexit, 2,964. Voting for more than one permitted number was 21, and unmarked or uncertain was 119. The total number of rejected ballot papers was 140, and the Brighton Kemp Town constituency turnout was 69.7%. And I declare that Lloyd Russell Moyle is duly elected as Member of Parliament for the Brighton Kemp Town constituency.
I would like to say thank you very much to everyone that has aided the process today, the returning officer and his staff, and particularly electoral services, who have managed to run this election in extremely difficult times, not only, of course, coming up to Christmas when people are wanting to wind down, but in the middle of the new register being published, and all the difficulties that that has ensued. And so I think this time particularly, our thanks need to go to the team at the council there who have put extra work in to make this happen. I, of course, want to say thank you to my candidates, who, of course, we disagree politically, but I all believe are honourable enough people to want to change Brighton Kemp Town for the better, but most of all, I am delighted that the people of Brighton Kemp Town have seen sense tonight when it has seemed like the country hasn't. And I will continue, as I said last time, to honour the votes of Brighton Kemp Town. As I said last time, thank you to those many people that lent me their vote tactically. I know many do, particularly Green Party and Liberal Democrat Party supporters. As I said last time, I will continue to push for electoral reform so votes are fairly counted in this country. But in this oasis of success, hopefully here in Brighton Kemp Town, it is a very dark day for our country. I believe very dangerous forces have taken over. I think the current party, which is looking to take over this country, is extremely dangerous, and we will resist. We will resist their danger at every stage, because the Conservative Party have their aim to break up our country. They aim to destroy our NHS. They will not destroy our country. Thank you, Kemp Town.
Bit troubled audio level, sir. It's only one speech, your poor shit, right, there, so...
Let's get a group photo with Lloyd over... Wait, can we do it on the stage?
Yeah, get on the stage.
Get on the stage. Get on the stage, guys.
Oh, brilliant.
That's a Labour hold at Kemp Town, not quite what we were predicting earlier. Very interesting. I didn't quite get all the results, so I have to read it in the paper. But he got in. Interesting. Well, this is going to be the Brighton Pavilion results now. I'm just walking through into the TV area. Well, I hope they speak up a bit. One out of 10 could be better. Looney. And it's a number 10 door, full size. Caroline Lucas on stage and around at the moment.
There were a few other
I think it's rigged. It's a nice Raven Looney part getting on with the full size number 10 door.
Jeff Raw, returning officer, give notice that the number of votes for each candidate at the election of the Member of Parliament in the Brighton Pavilion constituency are as follows. Dobbs, Bob, Independent, 212. Furness, Nigel, UK Independence Party, 177. Hogan, Emma Louise, Conservative Party candidate, 10,176. Ivan Kaur, Adam, Labour Party, 13,211. Lucas, Caroline, Green Party, 33,151. Wilson, Richard, Progressive Party, 770. Squiff, Citizen, the official monster-raving Looney Party, 301. Yeah. The number of ballot papers rejected was as follows. Voting for more than permitted number, 16. Unmarked or uncertain, 142. Brighton Pavilion constituency turnout was 73.56%. And I declare that Caroline Lucas is duly elected as a Member of Parliament for the Brighton Pavilion constituency.
To the returning officer, to the staff here this evening, and of course to my amazing team who worked on the Green Party campaign. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. In particular, my agent Steve, campaign managers Matt and Paul, and of course Kath Miller for everything. And a sincere and heartfelt thanks to the people of Brighton Pavilion, who have once again granted me the honour of representing them in Parliament. I feel incredibly proud that my majority has increased. I think it's around 57% now, because it demonstrates that Brighton Pavilion continues to believe in compassion and justice and a bigger future. But the pride that I feel is also tinged with huge sadness and, frankly, deep anger. Sadness that so many people who desperately need a progressive government on their side won't get the social justice that they need, the living wage, the good public services, and the security they need to build a future. And this election wasn't even necessary. It should not have had to happen. Parliament was on the brink of supporting a people's vote on Brexit, and two out of your three MPs proudly voted against it and warned about the danger that it would bring. We warned that it would tear this country further apart, and that is what I fear will happen. The status quo in this country is intolerable. The inequality is yawning ever wider, and we are now on course for it to become wider still. And that brings me to the anger that I feel, anger that our political system is so badly broken and is still letting down individuals and our country so badly. Our electoral system is rotten to the core. Travelled around the country, I have met so many people who wanted to vote Green, but they could not dare to do so for fear of splitting the vote and letting other parties in. Now, there should have been many more Greens elected tonight if there was justice. I think it is also worth pointing out tonight that nationally, if you look at where the vote share is right now, those parties supporting a people's vote campaign have got over 50% of the result. Let us not forget that tonight, my friends. Instead, we have this rotten first-past-the-post system that is locking out millions and ignoring their voices. And we're now paying the price for that, and it's our children and the climate that will go on paying that price. Now, this may well have been the Brexit election, but I am proud that we also made it the general election around the climate crisis. And I am determined to put the climate crisis at the top of the agenda in Parliament, to keep the Green New Deal there where it needs to be, at the heart of our agenda. That is what the science demands. It's what our children who've been striking for the climate demands, and it's what the people of Brighton Pavilion demand as well. Now, this task is going to be an awful lot harder with a Prime Minister who has taken millions of donations from climate deniers. No. The scientists have warned that the next 18 months are critical if we're to avoid runaway climate chaos. Yet Britain will likely spend them continuing to wrangle over Brexit as we hurtle towards crashing out with no deal, as has always been the preferred destination of the extreme wing of the Tory party that has now hijacked our country. We need to ask ourselves how this has happened. But those who call ourselves progressives do a massive disservice to a better politics that lifts us all up if we continue to focus on what divides us. We need to regroup and rebuild and not indulge in bitter recriminations and blame games. We need to recognise that we are condemning the country to potentially decades of vindictive Tory cruelty if we don't all join forces to create an unstoppable momentum for a voting system in which every single vote counts every single time. Our democracy should not be about gaming the system. It should not be about trying to game the system. We all lose if we don't listen to that rising number of young people who have voiced the hopes of a new generation. We must not let those voices be silenced before they begin to really sing. And we all lose out if the truth no longer matters. We all lose out if democracy is not the best it can possibly be. Now, in conclusion, this election has been called historic for many reasons already, but we are making history all the time. The distress, anger, and sadness that millions of us feel this morning about the national forecast could also be the catalyst for transforming our politics for good forever. That's how we make this election the start of something truly historic. That's how we light a much needed candle in the darkness. And very finally, let me thank my amazing husband, Richard, my children, Theo and Isaac, for all of their love and support all the way along.
Yeah, fairly predictable result there. And quite a mental mob approach to cheering, maybe, but even so. And no one else gets a speech, unfortunately. Well, we're just going to get the results for Hove and Port Slade now. It's the last of our three constituencies of Brighton and Hove. And it's 4:34 in the morning. About time we had a result, got home, innit? This one could be a bit of a mystery.
You've noticed that the number of votes for each candidate at the election of the Member of Parliament in the Hove constituency are as follows. Bass Beatrice Christina, Liberal Democrats to Stop Brexit, 3,731. Dixon Dame, the official monster raving loony party, 195. Hancock, Angela Francis, Brexit Party, 1,111. Kyle, Peter John, Labour Party, 32,876. Nemeth, Robert Stewart, Conservative Party candidate, 15,832. Sabelle Charlotte, Independent, 150. Sykes Ollie, Green Party, 2,496. The number of ballot papers rejected was as follows. Voting for more than permitted number, 20. Unmarked or uncertain, 131. The turnout was 76.09%. And I declare that Peter John Kyle is duly elected as a Member of Parliament for the Hove constituency.
Can I say a huge thanks to Jeff, the returning officer, and all of your staff who've worked so hard tonight. A huge thank you to all of the people who have manned all the polling stations and staffed all the polling stations across the constituency. They put their heart and soul in it today, and I've met many of them, and they have done a really fantastic job for our community, making our democracy one of the most welcoming places today in our community, and that's a really great thing. I wanted to say a massive thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of the activists and volunteers here today who have been out in the rain and the snow and the sleet and the wind that we have had in the last few weeks in this campaign. And also a huge thank you to all of the activists from all of the parties, because democracy in this country is out in the streets. It is knocking on doors. It's in all of our communities, up and down our community and neighbourhood. And that is one of the great strengths of our country. This has not been a good night for the Labour Party. Members of the public and residents have told us that they want the Labour Party to listen and they want the Labour Party to change. I'm here to say that I've been listening and I'll be fighting for the change that I know people need. Thank you very much.
That's Peter Cole there. He's got back in. So no change at Brighton and Hove. So there you go. That kind of wraps it up. But I still have to watch the news to get the full picture in the morning. Anyway, let's signing off now for the information at 4:38. Good night and happy Christmas.
The information where unknown forces struck the edge of ecology.